kind of want us to start off our Christmas right and with a message right from the start. I think it's especially important, as I'm going to say again Sunday, that we really prepare ourselves for Christmas this year. I don't know if you've noticed, and I'm going to comment more about this on Sunday, but I'm noticing more celebration, Christmas, whatever they, depending on what the house believes, Christmas lights in our neighborhood. How many of you have seen more Christmas lights in your neighborhood than last year? Some of you? Well, maybe not so many. I've noticed it in our community, and I've even heard some things about why that may be, and I think God is giving us an opportunity that we need to take full advantage of. But we'll talk about that on Sunday. But this morning, or this evening, I want us to talk about really what Christmas is about. And it is about sending. It is about sending. John 17, the great high priestly prayer of Jesus for the disciples. Verse 18 is our key verse for tonight. But let me just start in verse 13 and then we'll kind of work our way towards it. Here's what Jesus said. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Speaking of the disciples, Jesus wants the disciples to have his joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Christmas is about sending. It's very plain, right, from what I've shared with you already. And I want to ask you tonight, why would we emphasize world missions and world evangelization at Christmas time? Have you ever thought about that? You know that that's what we do at our church. Is that just a Southern Baptist tradition? Well, ultimately, that's the timing that we have chosen as Southern Baptists to emphasize missions and the giving of our money through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and all of these things. And some people might say, well, Christmas is about giving, and so we give our money to missions, obviously, so missionaries have the funding that they need to take the gospel to the unreached peoples of the earth. And that's obviously true. It's certainly true. But I don't think that is the main reason that we would emphasize missions at Christmas time. At least, it's not for me. A missionary, primarily, is a missionary because they were sent, right? They were sent on a mission. And the issue at hand is the sending. It's about the sender. Sending and the sender. Now, of course, the mission itself is important, and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ is of utmost importance to a world that needs a Savior. We know that. But its root mission is about sending. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Oswald Chambers said it this way, for those of you who read his devotional, the great Scottish teacher of the early 1900s, he said this: a missionary is someone sent by Jesus Christ just as he, Jesus, was sent by God. The great controlling factor is not the needs of people, but the command of Jesus. The source of our inspiration in our service for God is behind us, not ahead of us. The source of our inspiration in our service is behind us, not ahead of us. And what Chambers meant by that is that our motivation and our inspiration is being sent by Jesus Christ. And that is more, or should be more, an inspiration than the needs in front of us, as great as they may be. You know, we know of missionaries that go to places and they don't see any fruit for years. And they could become discouraged if the only thing they were looking at was the need instead of the call and the sending that God had given them to go to the place that they're in. And of course, the needs of the world are overwhelming for sure, and they are real. The need is great. The Bible doesn't neglect telling us that in Scripture. Let me give you a couple examples. John 4:35 says, Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. There is something out there that God is doing to harvest the souls of people. In Luke 10, starting in verse 2, and it says, and he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, so there is a need, but notice the force behind the need. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So you see, the greatest missionary the world has ever had was Jesus himself. He is the great missionary. God the Son was sent by God the Father into the world to redeem the world from its sin and condemnation. He was sent. He was a missionary. Christmas is about a Savior. It's about a rescue, if you will. If you don't need a Savior, then Christmas means nothing to you except some euphoric feeling and lights and a celebrative holiday music and traditions. Ultimately, Christmas is saying we needed someone to come rescue us from our condition, our sinful condition. And this is the emphasis of the sending of Jesus to the world. You know, this is the first year in many years that we will not be able to present our living nativity at the town hall. They've canceled the lighting of the green this year. But it's always been an awesome privilege for us to be able to do this, and I hope that next year we'll be back on track. And you know, I'm still amazed that we get to do that. That we, in a growing hostility towards the Bible and Christianity, and its indifference, obviously, to Jesus, that we can actually do this. It's a wonderful privilege. You know, we're playing loud and clear script over the loudspeakers. I mean, we're not obnoxious about it, but for the people that come to watch, which is hundreds of people, and right in the middle of all this holiday glitz and lights and everything is this statement. As I was listening to it one time, I was amazed that we were getting to say these words. Here's the words that came right out of the scripture. The angel told Joseph after he learned that Mary, his fiancée, was already with child, Matthew 1:20, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins on town property. Wonderful. And of course, we know that Jesus suffered on the cross as our substitute, a necessary sacrifice to a holy God for an unholy people. So Christmas is about a Savior coming into the world, but to come into the world, he had to be what? Sent, thank you. Sent as a missionary. And then that missionary sent out more missionaries to carry the message of his saving work and his love and his grace and his provision for the greatest need that we had, which was forgiveness. And that was ultimately, he was sent to a desperate world. And so this is where we get our motivation to take the gospel to the world. We are sent as he was sent. And that is exactly what John 17:18 says. Look at it closely again. It says, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Do you see it? Jesus was sent. That's the incarnation. He didn't start to exist when he was born. Jesus already existed. The Son of God already existed. He just became a man and was given the name Jesus. God coming in the flesh, sent into the world. As we've said many times at Christmas time, it was the most amazing cosmic mission trip the universe has ever known. And then he deploys his own followers into the same world, not to die as a sacrifice for sins, but to carry the message of his death and his resurrection to those who would believe it. They were sent. So it was never Jesus' intention just to disengage his people from the world, No. Verse 15, before this, is very clear about that. Look at verse 15. It says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world. This is not about escaping the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They're going to stay in the world, keep them from the evil one. His intention was to save them and then send them. So this is why we emphasize missions at Christmas time. It is a very rational and appropriate time to do so. So it's important for us, and it's important for our children. It's important for our children and our grandchildren to understand this. So parents and grandparents, if you will emphasize, if you would just read the story of Christmas from the Bible about this great missionary, Jesus Christ, at Christmas, you will have all the drama, all the excitement, all the joy, all the anticipation you'll need for your kids. And I can say that's been true at our house all these years. He was sent, and he sent his followers. Now, to reinforce this idea of being sent, let's see it right here in John 17. I don't have to go all over the Bible to show you this. In the same chapter, okay, the great high priestly prayer of Jesus, I want you to notice how much it's talked about. We'll start in verse 3 of John 17. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have," what? Sent. Jesus was sent. John 17, 8, just five verses later. "For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me." John 17, 21. "That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." John 17, 23. "I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me." 17, 25. "O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me." I would say that Jesus was making an emphasis. You sent me. It's one of those phrases that can kind of just slip by you, and you don't know how prevalent it is. And what is interesting here about these statements is that Jesus is talking about his mission. He saw himself. He saw himself as the one sent. He referenced himself that way. He used those very words. And then he makes the most amazing transfer, verse 18, that we're studying tonight. "As you sent me into the world," so there's the idea that he was sent. It didn't stop there. "I have also sent them into the world." So our motivation for missions, for reaching out, for evangelism, is the idea that we're not just like, coming up with this plan on our own. No, we are sent by God. And that's not without precedent. Jesus was sent, and so he then sends us. And I do think that that can increase our motivation. If we only are concerned about people, if we're only concerned about, don't get me wrong, we need to be deeply concerned. Paul was very concerned about his Jewish countrymen, and he said, "I would even be accursed." He was very concerned, and it did motivate him. He saw himself as a missionary, sent. And someone might say, well, he was talking about his disciples, the 12, right? Well, he certainly was talking about the 12. But Jesus went out of his way, in the next two sentences of his prayer to say this. See if it was only for the 12. Now we go to verse 20. "I do not ask on behalf of these alone," these 12 alone, "but for those who will believe," or "for those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe," there it is again, "that you sent me." So, he says, I'm not saying this just for these that are sitting here right now, but those who will believe according to their word. Did that mean just those who, that they would speak to on the earth when they lived on the earth? I don't think so, because these guys wrote the Bible. And the Bible was handed down after generation to generation all the way. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we are those who believe according to their word. So Jesus was talking about us, too. We are sent. What a great thought. There's no escaping the universal call of all believers to be sent into the world with the gospel, to be spread, of course, locally and globally. We know that as the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Let me just remind us of those words, especially in this context. Jesus said, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is the great co-mission. So tonight, I'm calling us, that's the purpose of this, I'm calling us, those in this room and those watching or who may watch later, I'm calling us to a more refined understanding of what Christmas is really all about, and even a more focused view of Jesus' mission as one who was sent. And that's important, very important. We need to pay attention to the precise words of the scriptures, because in that we get to a more precise understanding of what God wants us to know and how God wants us to see him. And that is crucial to our purpose in life, which is, of course, to glorify God, right? That's what we're supposed to do. But how do we glorify God? Well, if we've been sent, like Jesus was sent, then we glorify God by living out this sent life. And using his words, we have seen that the glory of Jesus Christ is seen in part because he was sent. And right behind that, we see that our motivation in going with the gospel is to live our life like he was, as one sent. This is in part how we glorify God. In fact, to really put an exclamation point on all of this, after Jesus had died and then he rose from the dead, do you remember he appeared to the disciples? And you say, well, did he only say this once about sending them? Nope. John 20. Now, we're now after the resurrection. Okay, Jesus has died. He has been raised from the dead. And then he appears to the disciples in that incredible experience. And his the most detailed version of that after John 17 is just three chapters later in John 20. Look at what it says. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, and where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, peace be with you, because they were freaked out. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So what? So Jesus said to them, peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I also send you. He showed them. They knew who it was him. They saw the scars. They rejoiced. It's Jesus. He's back. There's a very dramatic moment here. And if you can imagine, there's probably a long pause. Because what's he going to say next? What is his message now? And all the disciples stop. And now they wait for the next words. And for what he would say. And what does he want them to know? What does he want them to understand as the most intimate moment there could be with Jesus now that he's been raised from the dead? They're in that powerful moment. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's what he said. Besides his greeting of peace, which they needed, the next words out of his mouth, I was sent, you are sent. My friends, that is our commissioning as missionaries to the world. We're sent to those around us, and we really need to ask ourselves this question. Do we see ourselves as missionaries? Do we? We should. He said that to the disciples, and it would be on to their word. So those people in your neighborhood, you're a missionary to them. You've been sent to them. Those people you work with, guess what? You were sent to them. You know, I've been thinking this Christmas season a little bit, when I think about the lights that are going up in my neighborhood that were not there before, there's something going on. You know, there's I've been thinking, how can I leverage this season to have an audience and to have more influence in my neighborhood. I don't know what that's going to look like yet, but I've been thinking about it, and I think that's important for us to do. But there are so many different ways we can see ourselves as being sent. Grace, my daughter, was sent this morning to the gym. You say, wait a minute, didn't she go to the gym on her own free will? Yeah, she got up and had the courage to go to the gym. I can't bring myself to go to the gym. But Grace went to the gym. Seemed like a regular morning. But you know, she was sent to the gym. The reason I know that is because she sent me a text today that said this. She was excited. She said, I just had a very intense gospel conversation with the guy at the front desk at UFIT. Please pray for him. His name is, I'm not going to say his name, a Jewish background, but more of the anything goes type. We debated and went around and around and around, but at one point he said, I've never thought about that before, as we were talking about Jesus being the only one who could die for the sins of the people because he was sinless. I feel like the Lord really was aiding in that conversation. She was sent to the gym this morning for that fellow. And so we're sent out. And those who are sent to the remotest parts of the earth are one form of missionary, and those who are sent across the street are another form of missionary. And listen, we really need to be mindful of those who are being sent all around the world in the remotest parts of the earth. In fact, Sunday you got a prayer guide, and we've got more in the foyer. I hope you'll grab one, because this is the week of prayer for our international missionaries. And so they've selected different ministries within the IMB and actual individuals. And so today is day four. And so the encouraging thing we've been asking you to do is to take that pamphlet and pray for that prayer request. Read it. Pray for it in your family time. It's a great way to get started. If you haven't been having family devotions or whatever, this is a great way to do it. And if you didn't get started, pick up today on Wednesday and just go through next Wednesday. It's an 8-day prayer guide. So, and the cool thing now is that the IMB has a video for each one of the days. Alan sent me a text today saying they binge-watched all of them yesterday. That was pretty cool. They're good. In fact, just as a way to emphasize that tonight, I want to show you one right now for today. If you would watch it today, this is the one that we're going to be praying for on Wednesday. And so we'll take a moment to pray for this particular team that's down in the Amazon. But talking about the remotest parts, people that are being sent, let's just keep that fresh in our minds as we watch this.
We have certain stories in the New Testament, like the parable of the lost sheep, where you leave 99 to go find the one. And so God doesn't forsake that one lost sheep. You have these small micro people groups, so the gospel has not flowed yet because of geography, because of distance, because of cost, because of culture, because of racism. I really feel that these micro peoples are part of his heart to go after all sheep, to go after that remnant. In the Amazon, you can go a day without seeing another living soul, which is kind of freaky. But a lot of the reason why you can't see people is because they're hidden. These are hidden peoples, small in population, widely dispersed. They have centuries of bloody history where they've been exploited. They're animists. They believe in spirits. When you live that way, you tend to be dominated by fear. I see marginalized people. I see forgotten people. I see invisible people that are in desperate need of the gospel. The area is massive, and so to get from where I live, which is already a jungle city, I have to get into a land plane and fly to another port city, and then the next day we get in a boat, and in this slow boat we travel sometimes 3 days to get to where we're going.
Because we're going into areas where the gospel's not, sometimes it just takes time.
But recently we have noticed just God opening some doors. God has been working to send out missionaries, indigenous men and women, where there's no evangelical presence. A well-trained and called indigenous man will be much more effective. They tend to be able to get into hard-reach areas without government restrictions. You have fewer language limitations. A lot of my work is training them. So if I want to teach an indigenous man how to do storying, he has to see me do it first. Then after a while of walking alongside, he's very capable at that point. One partner in particular, he wants to go work with a group that has killed outsiders that have walked in. He's like, I don't care. God sent me to go do it. And this is such a 180 from most indigenous culture that you have to look at him and say, God brought this change to this man. You see families coming to Christ. You do see village headmans getting permission to come in.
It really confirms everything that we're out there to do, to go out and make disciples of all nations. When we have those things happen, we sit back and go, okay, this is what it's all about.
They can go and they can teach others, and those people can teach others. I want to see this momentum like a wave through the jungle where I can say, look, I didn't see it happen. I wasn't there, but I know the gospel has reached these dark corners.
When the borders of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering give, it allows us to do things like buy an outboard motor that gets us upriver, to get equipment that we need to help us stay out there in the jungle.
I have been supported by Lottie Moon. Y'all's generosity is a luxury that I never want to take for granted. So I want to say thank you for that. God is faithful in the hard times as he is in the good times, and our mandate doesn't change. These people groups in the jungle, you could be born, live, and die without ever hearing the name of our Savior. So someone has to go, because if we don't go, no one's going to go. If we don't train people to go, no one's going to go. It's worth it.
So there's two families, the Murfrees and the Brewsters, who have been sent by the Lord, by us, through us, as missionaries. You can skip that slide. That's not the right schedule. But I hope that you will keep praying for people like this. And so tonight, it's really just a way for us to emphasize that we're sent, and we are part of sending others. And that's what Christmas really is all about, because Jesus was sent. So I want to take a moment to pray. We're going to sing one more song that kind of speaks to this issue. It's a song called Overcome, and there's a line in the song. I hope you'll pick up on it when we sing it. It says, sending us out as light in this broken land. That's what this is really all about. So let's take a moment to pray and ask the Lord's help in us seeing Christmas the way we should, but also for this particular group of people. Father, we thank you for tonight and giving us the opportunity to just look into your word and see how it's so clear, it's so obvious of what the incarnation was, that you sent your son to save us, and that he sent his disciples out into the world. And those disciples include us. And Lord, that includes everyone in this room that knows you. And so I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to where we have been sent, and that we would take advantage of the opportunities that you've given us, and that we would forge forward and make opportunities through our passion and our obedience to your command. Lord, we don't want it to be some dark burden. Lord, if you sent us, the power's behind us. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight we would just be awakened to that. And we do pray for the Brewster family, that you would help them, and the other family that's with them. I pray that you would help them as they sludge through the mud and the slow, long rides up a river and having to struggle with the language. And thank you that they've caught on to the pattern that you set when you trained up others to go out and into the hard places. So I pray for these men that are going out being trained, these indigenous people of the Amazon basin, Lord, that they would go out in power and joy and health and strength and knowledge, that they would take the gospel they've been trained in, and they would take it to the peoples in the deepest, farthest places of the jungle. And I pray you'd keep them well and supplied. Lord, help us to reach our goal as ascending church, that we would be generous with our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And indeed, Lord, help us to give more to you at your birthday than anybody else that we give to. Lord, that's always been our pattern, and I thank you for a generous church, and I pray that would happen. I pray we'd go past our goal this year. I pray that we would reach past $20,000. I pray that the convention would reach past $175 million. Lord, that we would have unrestricted access, at least from a financial point of view, Lord, that we would use our blessings, our wealth, and our work to send out more missionaries. I pray for a young man named Charlie who has been waiting to get into his assignment with his family. And because of COVID, he hasn't been able to go. And I look forward to hearing that he's gone and he's there and he's working. And I pray that you would allow him. Thank you for the patience you've exhibited to him and many, many others. So, Lord, help us as we consider that we are sent. In Jesus' name.